Oh, groovy, baby.
Come with me if you want to live.
All right. Oh, my God. We are back on air again.
As always.
As always. Can you believe it?
Yeah.
This is the Radio St. Pete exclusive indie circuit. My name is Mal. With me, as always.
Promi.
Yes. That's right. It's an epic four show span, I think.
Yeah, don't jinx it.
Man, crazy town. And we're just talking a little bit about like work. And I'll talk in such broad terms, it doesn't matter, even if I... And I'm not going to be derogatory anyway.
It's going to be widget talk.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Sorry, everyone. No. Yeah. You know, like, I'm in a new culture, a new corporate culture. I've been at this place for maybe 4 months, 5 months. I can't remember. It seems like it's...
3 years.
It's been like a long time. It feels like a long time because this job, like where I got hired at, you're just in it immediately. There's none of that learning curve. There's none of nothing. So, you know, we were talking about end of month, trying to get like all these billing in and all this kind
of
stuff. And it's
like an organization that deals with sales of some sort, whether you're directly involved in sales or not.
You are.
Yeah. Because everything is about end of the month or end of the quarter or end of the whatever, which is crazy because we were just saying like, yeah, so, you know, October 31st was this week. And yeah, there's this mad dash to get all this stuff done before the end of the month. And you know what happened on Wednesday? It became November 1st.
Oh my God.
So the difference between October 31st and November 1st is, you know, a day. And yet they act like it's the end of the world. Like, we got to get this in by the end of October. You know, it's like, well, it's okay. So it's just going to count towards November. No.
Oh my God. See, in mine, this place is all about, it's a publicly traded company. And it is all about that, about the, like the fiscal responsibilities and all that kind of stuff.
There is concern with looking like they're doing great as they are and actually doing, like, possibly more so.
Yeah.
They're more concerned about the perception of how they're doing than how they're actually doing. Yeah. That seems to be how
most businesses how it works these days. You know, and I'm getting used to this culture. I don't take it one way or the other. It's not a negative to me because it's just whatever it is. It, like, I've always kind of approached my work and my what I'm tasked with as, it just is. It's not good. It's not bad. I don't really care. Well, you say that, okie doke. You know, I'm the good little soldier. And but it's just so, it was so different to me, so jarring that you're like, wait, what are we doing? They're like, it's the end of the quarter, man. Just start slamming, get these bills through no matter what you got to do. And I'm like, okay, I guess, whatever. You know, it was so foreign to me. You know,
well, you know, the thing is you came from the same widget
factory,
factory or whatever you want to call it, that
the widget outsourcing program
that I'm in. And for a long time, you know, our previous owners were in it for the long game. You know, they you know, we didn't play these games with them. Our new owners are a lot like that. And it seems like everything within our organization is becoming more and more like that.
Oh, yeah.
Which just seems crazy because to go from one to the other in the same place, you see how, like, your time is now spent on reporting and doing things to try to help justify how amazing we're doing rather than actually, like, doing stuff. Like, it seems like I'm starting to see, like, the waste in making us look good versus actually just doing what it's got to get done, you know?
Yeah, see, I always...
Which is crazy.
And I actually kind of, not admired, but I thought the way my old employment, your place now... I thought the way they ran it was better. I like they talked a lot about that, investing in long term, thinking overall health, not the short sprint.
But they were a privately held company. It was a giant company, giant privately held company. So they can do that because they don't have, you know, they don't have stockholders and
they're not answering to anybody
and
also,
funds that they have to report to on earnings. And so if they want to plunk down $200 million on a major investment and realizing it's going to take two decades to make that back, if they think that's the best thing for their business over the next 20 years, they do it, you know?
Yeah, they use
it. Now, the guy making that decision doesn't even plan on being with the company that long in most cases, so...
You're like, I'm not spending a nickel.
Yeah.
You know, you're like, yikes.
Yeah, but I think that's just, you know...
That's the world today. So many people say that. Well, here's some music.
Yeah.
So listen to that. That'll be uplifting.
He was like a god walking amongst near mortals. He had a voice that could make a wolverine purr. And suits so fine they made Sinatra look like a hobo. In other words, Ron Burgundy was the balls.
There are only two things I can't stand in this world. People who are intolerant of other people's cultures, and the Dutch.
Would you sign your own death certificate? You must, before you witness the electrifying night of the living dead and blood and black lace. You must free the theater from responsibility should your heart stop. Paralyzed in fright from the 12 deadly hours of the night of the living dead, where strange, incredulous molecular mutation incites cadavers to arise live from their coffins to devour all human flesh. And the House of Horror, the House of Blood and Black Lace, a chic French fashion salon where seven breathtaking models will find their hideous, diabolical end. Night of the Living Dead, together with Blood and Black Lace. A terrifying evening with the undead.
Hey, want to hear the most annoying sound in the world?
All right, that was, of course, the Fuzziyama Surfers, straight out of Japan. I played Fuzziyama Wave, Mizerlu, Time Bomb, and then Teko Wasabi.
Yeah, yes, and
those cool. are things.
And for this segment, we have something awesome planned. Mal, tell them.
I don't know. What are we going
to
talk about?
Yeah, I have no idea either. We actually spent our off-air time talking about stuff that had nothing to do with the show. So
yeah, it's okay.
And then Mal hit record again.
I'm the Ed Wood of podcasting and radio broadcasting. What can I tell you?
Yeah.
Oh, before we get too far, because I know we're reaching out to some new, lots of new listeners. Make sure you check out some of my other online stuff. I have another show on Radio St. Pete called Asian Cult Cinema.
That's scary. Forgot your other show.
Oh my god, I have so many. And then of course I have a long running B movie review podcast called Slow Robot A Go Go. That has nothing to do with Radio St. Pete. That's just all on its own. So go to bunchofdorks.com and there you'll find all kinds of podcasting goodness. But the top one is B movies. So if you like them, go there and you'll be glad you did. Do you have any online concerns you'd like to have people go to?
Well, I have lots of online concerns, but mostly they're about things like privacy, about net neutrality.
Net neutrality is a big one. I think
yeah.
it got. Is it still holding its own, or is it struck down?
It's
under constant attack.
They're trying to take it down again. I mean, of course they are, because the cable companies all hate it. Cable companies, I mean, the wireless companies kind of got around it.
For the listeners at home, what is that?
Essentially, the idea of net neutrality is that your internet connection is a pipe. The same way that water comes into your home or electricity comes into your home, internet bandwidth is a pipe. What that means is that when you're getting electricity from the power company, it doesn't matter if it's going to your TV or your lamp or what you're doing with that electricity.
You're
supposed to be able to turn on
yeah.
the power and it comes through. Same thing with water coming into your home, and same thing with plumbing. If you have, if you live in a place with sewage, whatever you flush goes out. You know, there's certain things you're not supposed to put in the toilet, but whatever you put in, as long as it fits through that pipe, should go out. The internet service providers are attempting to claim that internet access should not have to operate the same way, and that they should be able to direct and prioritize. Certain kinds of content, which means
yeah.
that essentially that they can charge other companies to make their stuff come through what's referred to as the fast lane and then throttle
the
others.
Information superhighway.
For instance, they claim that Netflix uses a disproportionate amount of bandwidth and therefore Netflix should be responsible for paying them. So if you have a Time Warner or Spectrum or Comcast or whatever.
Whomever.
They want Netflix to start paying them money so that their HD content will come to you at full speed. Now, the reason this is something I can't say on the air, total crap, is because you as the customer are already paying for that access. You're paying your local internet service provider, and if you've got high speed, you're
quite
paying good
handsomely,
money.
Quite handsomely, I might
$50
add.
Or more for that pipe. So, nobody else on the other end should have to be paying for that content to come to you. If for some reason the cable operators are not making enough money, what they should be doing is raising the rates directly with consumers, not basically screwing everyone on the back end. And the reason that's a big deal is because a company like Netflix, okay, they've got subscribers, they can afford to pay a little.
But let's say you have a podcast, you know, like, say, Bunch of Dorks.
Yeah.
And it's a small, smaller operation. In order to ensure that their content reaches the end place in a real time, in a real time manner, they may be forced to actually pay for various operators. And that becomes very, very complicated very quickly, because across the country, there are multiples. There's Cox, there's Time Warner, there's Comcast, there's... Bright House is gone, but Spectrum, you know, essentially that would give all of these guys the rights to basically say, like, yeah, we see a lot of content from you has been coming this way. This is what we're going to charge you to make sure it keeps coming that way.
Crazy.
And not only is that bad for the smaller players, it's also bad for people on the opposite end, people who consume this stuff, because what that does is that starts to push out these smaller players, which means that the internet, which all this time has been a free and open place, suddenly becomes the domain of major corporations. A lot.
Well, SEO is already doing that, like, to some degree, where, you know, the people, like, I'm sorry to butt in, but they, like, you know, when once I learned about, you know, search engine optimization and how much and people were paying and all this kind of stuff, I was like, oh, so basically, you know, the stuff that's getting rammed down your throat, you know, there's a reason, and you have to, like, kind of dig deeper if you want to see just,
you know,
other stuff. You know, go to page 5 or 6 to see, you know, the average, you know, whatever website, but that reflects certain things.
What,
you know,
I'll say with that, though, is yeah, SEO is at least legitimate. I mean, anybody can technically do it.
Yeah,
if you, well, you can study up on it and you can do it, and depending on the type of keywords you're doing, you're trying to, and I know this now because some of my job is that SEO stuff.
Yeah.
It's a legitimate thing. Like, you can learn how to do it, and if you're willing to invest the time and the effort, you can do it.
Yeah,
you don't
have to buy. Don't you have to buy Google?
Nope, that's AdWords.
Oh, AdWords. That's
advertising.
That's what I'm thinking.
Which is a completely different thing. And ads, you know, like on Google, ads are clearly displayed as ads.
Yeah.
They actually say advertising.
Ads right on the bottom of it, yeah.
So in terms of, like, ranking on page 1 or whatever, that's still something. Now, the ones that rank the highest, they do have resources put to it. They have full-time employees, or they pay other companies to do it, you know.
In
to,
India.
Who knows?
They pay little sweatshops in India and China to uptick things, and they go, okay, whatever.
But the point is, though, is that there's nothing stopping that single-guy operation from spending 6 hours a day
clicking that and getting
and,
it out,
and
yeah.
Doing the work and pushing his ahead. He can still compete. And in more obscure subject matter, he can compete famously. I mean, amazingly, because the internet's still a big and open place. But this crap, though, this has got the potential danger of turning the open internet into something that feels a lot more familiar to us. Something like, I don't know, cable TV.
Yeah.
Well, where it's controlled by one or two major companies that then deal with other major companies and control all of the content coming into you.
Gross.
No wonder they don't like neutrality.
Well,
you know?
Neutrality. I mean,
I keep calling it neutrality. I don't know why. No, I know how to pronounce the word. I don't know why I'm saying it that way tonight.
Well, and, you know, I remember this is a similar but different. Ooh, we've heard that before. I was sitting on the board. I was a chair member on the public access thing. It was, and this was like the I was the seat that the local congressman filled. Mm. I was that guy, and I'm sitting there listening to this, and I'm like, it was a constant barrage of how they hated us, how cable companies hated public access
because they had to get, they had to,
and
have
you're like,
you.
One channel in your sea of garbage, this one channel is a bother to you. Like, they wouldn't upkeep it. They wouldn't give it signal. They wouldn't do... There was all this stuff, and you're like, business is just filthy pigs. I mean, like, honest to goodness, it's run by the scum of the earth, and they're just... Like, they can't even... That one thing was a thorn in their side, and you're like, really?
Required for the public good in order for them to offer a service.
Boy, that's where I kind of go, now I'm starting to see the world in a little bit of a... The rose-colored glasses are coming off, you know. All right, we're going to play some music, and we'll be right back after that deep... I'll try and come up with something less deep.
Yeah, we'll actually talk about the show on break.
I'm good at that because I'm not deep. Here's some music.
All right, sweethearts, what are you waiting for? Breakfast in bed? Another glorious day in the Corps. Day in the Marine Corps is like a day on the farm. Every meal is a banquet. Every paycheck a fortune. Every formation a parade. I love the Corps!
This here is a tribute to the late great Ronnie Dawson. Ow!
cut a piercing eye. He would strum out a rhythm, make you dance all bright. Well, if you load a snake in a wagon track, he would play the tune that would bring you right back. Well, if he would get you going with monkey feet, jump and run at the edge of your seat. So action packed, you can't sit, can't sit still. Can't sit still. You know it's such a thrill. Well, you can't keep still. Take it for a little ride, oh yeah. Oh yeah. Cause even if he's in heaven or hell, I'm sure he's doing oh so well that his sound shoots the ground of the whole wide world. Yeah. Oh yeah. Ow. Well, hell, he chats him around. Sound have you ever heard? Well, a wolf like playing the guitar on his hip. Well, it would be on a grip as sharp as a rip. Well, he would get to go with his monkey beat. Jump and run at the edge of your seat. So action packed, you can't sit. You can't sit still. No, you can't keep still. Cause it's such a thrill. No, you can't keep still.
Mania rips the screams right out of your throat. A terrifying film experience that explores the twisted souls of insanity.
Blood Mania.
A treacherous journey inside a nightmare of passion and fear. Blood Mania is a love affair with horror. Crown International release, rated R.
Well, me and my gal went out on a Saturday night. She likes to dance, so I took her to a place, all right. Well, as soon as I heard the music start, I knew it would break my aching heart. Cause she won't stop dancing till the band is calling a night. Well, you better stop the bop.
Stop the bop.
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 You better stop the bop. Cause baby won't dance with me.
Stop.
The popping thing just ain't for me. I think it looks like a drunk doing river dance. But when she gets going, I don't stand a chance. Well, I wish the band would play another song. This popping thing's been going on too long. You better stop the bop, cause my baby won't dance with me. Well, you better stop the bop.
Stop the bop.
You better stop the bop.
Stop the bop.
Well, you better stop the bop.
Stop the
you better stop the bop.
Stop the bop.
You better stop the bop. Cause my baby won't dance with me.
Here we go again.
Well, listen, cousin, giving up.
So why is that?
'Cause I sure do love my buttercup. I'll do the dance if it makes her glad, 'cause she's the best gal I ever had. You better stop the bop.
Stop the bop.
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 You better stop the bop, 'cause my baby won't dance with me. Well, you better stop the bop.
Stop the bop.
You better stop the bop.
Stop the bop.
You better stop the bop. You better stop the bop.
Stop the bop.
You better stop the bop, 'cause my baby won't dance with me.
Replicants are like any other machine. They're either a benefit or a hazard.
All right, that was, of course, The Go-Getters. I played Ronnie D on the other side of the break, and then on this side I played Stop the Bop and Welcome to My Hell. Wow.
Wow.
That's poignant.
Yes.
No, they're good. So I blind bought them at a record shop in Houston the last time I was invited to
Houston.
Austin.
I was going to say Houston the person or no, Houston the place?
Houston, the last time I was invited to the grand gala that has been since canceled at the Widget Factory.
The Widget
U. Widget U. And I went to, the first thing I do whenever I go to a new city is go to the first, go right to a record shop. It gives you a feel for what the place is all about, you know. So I
stomp on someone's foot. Now, based on their reaction, I know how I have to act after I leave the airport.
If they shoot at you, you're like, oh, I'm in Texas. That's right.
Yeah. And they're like, okay, when I step out of the airport and people can have guns, I got to be careful.
So this, I got out of the airport in Korea, and there's the soldiers with the AKs. I was like, huh.
Yeah.
So anyway.
No joking with you guys.
Exactly. I'm not even going to talk about anything wacky. I'm going to just keep walking.
Won't make eye contact. Yeah.
So, so yeah, I ended up blind buying the Go Getters some record shop in Austin. When I was driving from the airport, the taxi driver's there, and I was like, "Here, where's a record shop?" And he pointed as he was driving by. I was like, "Okay, nope, that's all I needed to know." You know.
No.
All right. So enough about that. This week was Halloween.
Yes.
Do you have any excitement? I turned the lights out because.
Wow, you're one of them.
I am one of them.
You know what? Next year, I'm going to come toilet paper your place just for the hell of it.
Good luck with that.
Oh, that's right. You got cameras. I forgot. Damn it. I'm going to wear a mask, make sure the lights are off in the certain room, and then I'm going to toilet paper.
Good luck. I used to be really into it, and then, you know, I used to answer the door in, like, makeup. One year I answered the door in, like, a juggalo makeup with a big, gigantic sword, like an axe I made. And, but then, you know, then kids started coming, like, they're not even wearing, like, costumes. And I was like, well, I was like, nah, I'm
done with this. Yeah, when a 16-year-old shows up with a grocery bag and is like, what do you got for me?
Dude.
Like, you couldn't have put some of your mom's mascara on or something. Nothing at all. You couldn't have ripped your shirt, pretended, you know, like a lame zombie.
Yep, nope. And nope. I was like, yeah, we're done here. Yeah. I'm done here. So, you know, I just stopped. So, but, you know, what did you end up doing?
Well, I have a 5-year-old, so we went trick-or-treating.
Nice.
He dressed up as Link. And we got the deluxe costume. We got all the accessories. So he was walking around with a master sword and a Triforce shield and
that's awesome.
Boot covers, you know. So
whole deal, huh?
Yep, the whole deal. He loved it too. He's I don't know what the word is. He's very hardcore about his costuming.
Ah,
I remember
he's a cosplayer.
He is.
He's a little tiny cosplayer.
Last year he was Mario, and before he would go to a door, he'd get tired of wearing the gloves. So he'd take them off, but before he'd go to somebody's door, he wanted the gloves back on. Like, I have to be, my costume must be complete. I can't, you know. I'm like, well, how about we just put one glove on, and that way you can still hold your, no, it had to be both. You know, this year was cool, though, because in the past, he was afraid to go to the up to people's houses and stuff, and he was a lot more into it this year and running around, and he's like, come on, guys, where are we going next? You know, he kept saying that, come on, guys, and leading the whole group, and, he could have gone on until midnight if somebody would have let him. Of course, he fell asleep in my car on the way home. Nice. I live in a place where there's not a lot of kids, so we took him to a friend's neighborhood and went with trick-or-treating with them. But
who was that, Wampa dude?
Yeah.
Ah, yeah. All right.
And some wacky costumes his kids had. Cool costumes, though.
Wampas?
Nope.
Oh, okay. Was it Star Wars at all?
One of them was,
of course. Yeah, there you go. It's just not the same. I mean, yeah. I don't think
he was riding around a little Tauntaun that was an inflatable thing. You know, and it was funny because it actually had a motor in it to keep the air in it. But when he moved too fast, it started to deflate because it, like, opened up pockets of it and the air would escape. So he'd have to stand still for a minute or two for it to puff back up. Poor kid.
You chose poorly, kid.
Well, it's a cool looking costume, yeah, but
it's all about movement, man. You gotta get to the next house.
As everybody's rushing around, though, he sounds like he's just walking in a trash bag. Having trouble keeping up. And the other one was a character from Overwatch, and Wampa Dude helped actually make that costume. So that was a pretty cool one too.
Nice.
Some interesting observations, though, about trick-or-treating and how it's changed over the years. Now, a lot of people don't go up to their door. They're like sitting outside. They're ready for you. They're out front, like on the back of a truck, or they have a table set up with chairs. Hmm. There is still some of that going up and knocking on the doors, but a lot of them, you're basically walking, you know, you're not even really walking
driveway
past the sidewalk.
Yeah.
You know, is a little, but it's also convenient because you get to hit more easily. Yeah.
It's probably less creepy for a kid too.
Yeah. My son had a little bit of trouble with some of them because they didn't put like the purple lights or the, you know, black lights, or they'd put like red lights and anything that looked like it would move. And this is because I took him to a Spirit Halloween store a year ago, where they have all the things that jump out at you on display. And after getting caught by one or two of those that we didn't think were actually working, afraid. Anytime he sees something like that, even if it's just the cheap one that doesn't do anything, I'm like, look, buddy, it's plastic, and knocking on the head and stuff. And he's like, no, not interested.
He's learned his lesson early in life,
but
trust no one.
He was completely eager, which was awesome.
That's cool.
The other thing is that the quality of candy seems to have...
See, now, was the, did he have a good haul?
Oh, yeah.
That's the important thing. Yeah. Did he come home, we used to come home with garbage bags full of candy.
But, like, was, but that, I mean, a lot of...
That's an exaggeration, but a lot. We had a lot of candy.
You but know? A lot of it would be like that crappy chalk stuff, you know? Like, the back in the day, it was like candy cigarettes, but yeah. And I think it was just chalk.
from Chinese factories.
Chalk, it was like stuffed in a box. But, like... You don't really see that. I mean, most of it is chocolate now, which is like the good. Premium crap. But
you know, I was listening to this is when you were talking about. I was listening to a podcast. I listened to a couple different podcasts at work, and one of them is like a like pinball and arcade related. Mm-hmm. And this guy was talking about these guys all have massive collections. I mean, like top. They have their house arcades and they have storage units filled that they use to swap out.
Wow,
that's the level they're at. And the one guy was saying, yeah, every year for Halloween, he lives in a cul-de-sac and he sets up pinball machines like three or
like
four
a,
of them,
like a loop, like, loop kind of, like,
yeah, and like loop. And like and they're horror themed, like, you know, Class of 1812 and okay. And like, you know, Mars Attacks and stuff like that.
Yeah,
and he says that a lot of kids come and they play them for a while and they keep going. I was like, well, that's really unique.
It is.
I mean, it's almost like, I don't want to say like ballsy, but you're like, wow, that's kind of, it's just
that's
cool.
It's risky, and but it's also, yeah.
But they're sitting there. He said all the parents are sitting there, so it's not like someone's going to kick it or do anything weird. But it's just like, huh, I never even thought of what an interactive thing. Yeah. You know, that's kind of cool. I would never do it.
Yeah, and
which speaks to my laziness.
Well, not only that too, but you're like, my stuff's in here. Like you talked about how the guy swaps them out. I would be afraid to, because I'd be afraid of getting banged up just in moving it, you know? Even though these things were designed to be beat.
Oh, these guys, and they, you know, they have those jacks and they just lift them up and scoot them away, you know. I need to get one of those one day if I ever get more invested. There's one I'm pining after that I'm going to have to save up and buy it. It's my favorite pinball machine in the history of ever, I think.
Which one's
that? It's called Wo Nelly. It's not well received. It's a new game from Stern, like newer, but it's an EM. It's made old style, and it looks like it's sitting on some orange crates.
I think I know which one you're talking about.
Yeah, it's very cool.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
I'm I've narrowed your choices down to 5 unthinkable options. Each will cause untold misery.
I pick number 3.
You don't even want to read them first?
I was elected to lead, not to read. Number 3.
All right, we all knew where that was going. Of course, that was the world famous 5678s. I played that off their newest CD that I have trouble saying. It's Tanuki Goten.
You're not a real fan, man.
No, it's I played Kikia
Shout. Tanuki Goken. I can say it. Come on.
Great Balls of Fire, Soulful Dress, and Harlem Nocturne, which Harlem Nocturne is a very good song.
Now, Great Balls of Fire, is that?
Sure is.
They actually...
sure did.
I'm going to have to listen to this one.
You sure will. That looks like it's it for us for this week. Got anything else?
Nothing that I can cram into 1 second.
Okay, well, there you go. My name is Mal, with me as always.
Promi.
And we will see you next week with more Indie Circuit Shenanigans.